Welcome to Meditation Moments, and a sincere God bless you. I do trust you'll be a wonderful blessing to others today. You will be if you look to the Lord. Now, we're reading this morning a wonderful passage of Scripture. I think it's one of the most wonderful in the book of Isaiah. It's in the 40th chapter and beginning with the 28th verse. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the end of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now God's word says here that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Now, on turning to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse, you'd be very puzzled at a strange statement that's similar to this one that I just read to you. It's about the Apostle Paul, the great scholar, the talented writer, the outstanding Christian apostle, and it's something that he says of himself. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, if you'll note to whom Paul is writing, it may help us to find the answer to so strange a statement, because Paul wrote these words to the Greeks. And the Greeks exalted perfection of the physical body above everything else, not only through their national races and games, but they made it also the basis of ancient Greek art and sculpture. They had absolutely no use for a weakling, and they had given the impression that they believed that Paul had some kind of weakness, and Paul gives us also that impression. We don't know what it was. No one has ever known. There's been much conjecturing. We know from what Paul writes elsewhere that they attributed other weaknesses to him and scorned a man that had been stoned, whipped, or imprisoned. This did not at all constitute their ideas of strength. Also, Paul's manner of organizing, sustaining the church was to them contrary to all human logic. They didn't understand that God frequently works contrary to human logic and natural expectations. That God has his own way of doing things, quite contrary to our ideas, where he says in his word, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now the Greeks inferred also that Paul was not an orator, that his speech was contemptible. The greatest ambition of a Greek was to be an orator. Now, the lack of the gift of oratory was just simply weakness to them, and they reasoned man's way about it. For God's way has always been that it's the spirit in the speech, not the oratorical power, that counts. Paul said, it is according to the power that worketh in you. So this that the Greeks called weakness, God called strength, truly an asset. How many times we can prove that we've heard some humble speaker, not gifted in oratory, not learned in man's wisdom, nor trained in man's colleges, but so filled with the Spirit of God that he literally swept an audience along on the tide of his earnestness, and the power of God manifested through him. A man so humble, so emptied of self, so weak in himself, that God had a chance to work through him. Thus his very weakness became his strength. When he was weak, then he was strong, just as Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. The Word of God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now then the Lord comes and supplements such weakness with his strength. When they are the weakest in themselves, they become strong in the Lord and their dependence on him. So what the Greeks, in ignorance of spiritual things, would have called weakness becomes strength. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That's Isaiah 40:29. When we are so sure of our own strength, so confident of our own powers, the Lord leaves us to walk alone in the strength we are so sure of. I am reminded of my daughter when she was a tot, just learning to walk. She was naturally very impulsive with much initiative, and she insisted on trying to walk by herself rather than let me hold her hand and guide her. She really couldn't walk alone, but with her independent spirit, she'd pull away, and over again she'd launch out by herself, falling, bumping, bruising, until always that child, nearly always, she bore the marks of her declaration of independence on the end of her little nose. How many of our lives bear the marks of our independence, the wanting to lean on our own strength? until sometimes broken, defeated, disappointed, we learn our lesson. What a pity that we should depend upon the human when we can have the divine, that we should draw only upon natural resources when we can have all of heaven's resources at our command. How strange it is that we should insist in walking in our own strength, depending on our own wisdom, when we can have the power of Almighty God, all His riches linked with our life. And the wonder of it is that the Lord wants to be our ally. He longs to strengthen and comfort and supply. He longs to give His strength to us. But if we insist in walking by ourselves in our own strength, just as I've said, He'll leave us to stumble around until we find how little strength we really have in ourselves. And He'll just walk off the stage of our lives and leave us to ourselves until the foundations of our proud confidence in the human strength has been shaken, and we at last come to the realization that our human strength is only weakness. And may I say that what's true of individuals is certainly true of nations. Relying on human endeavor, on all sorts of ammunition, munitions, and our new atomic bombs and all of this, if we are going to rely on those things instead of upon God and upon His strength, then we're going to be left without the help of our great ally, our mighty God. Moses was weak and stammering, but he became the greatest lawgiver the world ever knew. The disciples were unknown and mostly unlearned men. But all those weak men, their influence is felt to this very day, because they realized their weakness and put no confidence in the flesh. Such things are a blow at man's pride, man's idea of strength. We know that. God has little use for pageantry and all of this preparation and arms. And I know that sounds like a pacifist, and I don't mean that. I believe that we're to do all we can, just as Jesus told them to roll away the stone, but He did the raising of Lazarus. But beyond that all, we must look to God for the strength. We must take into account God's power, because He pours contempt on military strategy when He's ignored, often given the victory to a minority. Dearly beloved, just let us look to God very definitely and search our hearts to see if we really are depending upon Him, or if we're looking to Him in such a way as we should, not upon leaning on our own strength. He's saying, "My strength for your weakness is My provision for you." And so the humble, the meek, the weak can thus become strong. And your testimony will be, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Remember, all of God's spiritual giants were weak men who became great strong men by God's power. God says, "I will dwell in the humble and contrite heart." While the world puts its confidence in the arm of flesh, you put your confidence in the Lord alone, because He counts all those things weak things, not to the strong as a battle, He says. All these things are in God's sight the weak things, but the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So ask for His wisdom and His strength. God will give it to you. Let's bow our heads in the word of prayer again. Father, we pray that Thou'll help us to be humble and contrite in spirit, with no confidence in the flesh, as Thy word says. Grant to lead us into the path that will keep us childlike in faith, continually conscious of our own weakness, so that we diligently can seek and depend utterly upon Thy strength. Oh, I love this old song that depicts this very thought this morning. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into Thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come. Out of my sickness, into Thy health. Out of my want, and into Thy wealth. Out of my sin, and into Thyself, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of Thy cross, Jesus, I come. Out of earth's sorrows, into Thy balm. Out of life's storms, and into Thy calm. Out of distress, the jubilant psalm, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of Thy home, Jesus, I come to Thee. Out of the depths of ruin untold, into the peace of Thy sheltering fold, ever Thy glorious life to behold, Jesus, I come to Thee. And so out of our weakness we come to His strength. Because when we're weak, then He is strong in us. Remember, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.